going to talk about the Jubilee year. But you might have noticed, a little while ago, we had in reading in Mark, we had the same account, the same event. But it was much more developed and lurid in Mark than it is in Matthew. You notice that. But it's the same story. Now, what is this Jubilee year? See? It starts on a very basic basis. We don't own the land. God does. That's the foundation. Now, there's a certain tiny portion of this globe that God promised to a very certain people. And he gave it to them. And now they have to respect that. And so, the land must rest every 50th year. And so there's no planting, there's no harvesting. And you just eat whatever you've put aside for this year. It's also the year when somebody who sold himself to his neighbor because he was broken, goes back to his own land, to his own home. Now, what's so beautiful about that is we don't run this world and we don't own this world. I don't own this land. God does. Now, it's remarkable that we can find instances of this type of thing in some of the other cultures who are not monotheists, who don't, but they do have a sense of relying on something and a balancing, ensuring justice. Now, with the advent of capitalism, that became impossible because that needed two factors to create the civilization we live in, the Industrial Revolution and the rise of capitalism. That's why, when Marx wrote Das Kapital, he's trying to say this is at the root of all the problems. The government should own it all, you see. No God, of course, there isn't a God. So now, some people own the means of production and others work for them. And there's nothing you can do about that because you can't have the factory revert back to whom. Though I must say, years ago, I directed a doctorate. I was second reader for the doctorate, actually. Ken Schmitz, Professor Schmitz, was the director. He was a young Australian priest at the JP2. And his doctorate was The Entrepreneur in the Teaching of John Paul II. It was a beautiful piece of work, too. He'd done his degree in economics before he became a priest, so he was familiar. And he took, and this is why I'm telling you this whole story, he took a company, I can't remember the name of it, the two owners, one was a Roman Catholic and the other was a Mormon, I think, or maybe, anyway, I forgot now. They were good friends, and they owned factories all over the world. It was a big company. But they made sure that the people working in those companies participated in everything. Actually, a certain amount of money of the profits was set aside, and a group in the factory was responsible for investing it. And it could be the managers, it could be the janitors, it could be anybody. And it was so beautiful. And one year, the biggest money winners were the janitors. Why? Well, because first place, they're pretty practical people. They can't afford to lose a lot of money. Secondly, they just called in an expert and said, well, what is all this investment and how does he do it? And they said, well, this is what you do and these are your principles. And they went out and did it in that factory. It was the janitors who was their turn that year to be the ones doing that, and they won the prize. You see, there's a vision that we've forgotten because we live in such a capitalistic world, you know. Either the government or private entrepreneurs own the means of production and everybody else works for them. And that can be Christianized. You've got a beautiful, this encyclical, the one that was the basis for this fellow's doctorate, from John Paul II. You see, it's possible. See, the vision in this letter here, in this enactment in the book of Leviticus is, this land is God's. It's not mine, it's God's. And so, every 50th year, you see, you give everybody back his land. Well, I bought it, it's mine, not yours. Give it back. And that provides a certain sense of equality among people, a certain sense of the ownership of God of this world. And of course, it's obliterated. And what we live in now is a world. Communism is the fruit of a long intellectual rebellion against God. For those of you who would like to read it, it's a great big book, but it's a marvelous book. It was written by Father Henri de Lubac, who later was Cardinal Henri de Lubac. It's called The Drama of Atheist Humanism. How did we get like this? You see? And where does it lead? It's very important, if you want. One of the things on my website is a talk series, I'm still doing it, on preaching in adversity. And it was for the priests. But the first thing I had to do was explain what's the adversity. You see, the adversity is atheist humanism. And everything that flows from that. And so, this text, you see, is so obviously different. The land belongs to God. And so, and God says, every 50th year, you give it a rest. And those who have been enslaved themselves to you because they were broke can go back to their own land. And this we now discover, because we have like the Code of Hammurabi and others, that this was not only there, but among the pagans. This notion that they knew they were indebted to God, to the gods, for this land, and they treated it well, and they treated the poor better than we do. So the two things that challenge us in our living in this world this way are private property. Now, there's nothing wrong with private property. And a capitalism that doesn't care for the poor. Capitalism, but you can't run. And nobody in the world does, except communist countries, but they have the same structure, except that the government is the boss instead of Joe Blow. Well, when the government is the boss, what happens? 10 or 15 people have millions of dollars. You think those Soviet leaders, the communists, they owned 5 or 6 homes, and their people are out on the street in lines, waiting to get into the grocery store to get something to eat. Because unless you cure greed, there's no way around this. And that basis of this Jubilee year is against greed. Now, somebody has got to find a way, because you can't let the factory life fallow for a year. I mean, see, now we have capital and labor, we have a whole different system. But, and I I lent that doctorate just to a young businessman, and I just thought this morning I better get it back. It's been a year now. It's my capital. But it's worth praying to see where are we in this, you see? We just move into this world and presume somebody owns a means of production and everybody else works for them. Is that the only way it can be? These two men, and they own a huge number of factories and all over the world, in this, I forgot what their product is, but whatever, they have said, no, you can do it another way. And it's not communism, and it's not socialism. See, these are two very devout Christians who run this. And you can't do it on anger. We're going to show these guys. You cannot do that. The anger of man never works the justice of God, ever. So I just thought we'd just concentrate on that text today. You see, it's a reminder that this earth belongs to God and its produce belongs to God. And the things that we have been able to do, starting in the 17th and 18th century, the Industrial Revolution, has been to transform this under the illusion that we're God. And I would say, without a Christian presence, the competing ideas about how to handle the means of production are just about as bad. Communist or capitalist, they're just about as bad. Because neither of them have this vision that it all belongs to God. Now, those two men and the factories that they run, they are doing it. And that's why this doctorate is so valuable. But we should pray, my friends, you see. Pray. Because without a soft heart and an acknowledgement, we all depend on God. We will never provide. You see, the material that was going on in this country now is just a joke. I mean, it's communism, which has never worked. Why? Because if you can't take greed out of the human heart, I don't care what system you've got, it'll wind up as... one of the great theoreticians of this. His name will come when I don't need it. As he said, it's his Latin name. Anyway, he said, look, in every revolution, the oppressed become the oppressors, and the oppressors become the oppressed, but nothing changes. Only the grace of Christ can change that.